The following program is brought to you in living color.
Bread, that this house may never know hunger. Salt, that life may always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever.
It's the Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for the Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time. Yes, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask or honestly just didn't really care enough. We are off and rolling to another show here at The Crush. And, of course, there's a lot going on in the wine world this week. But before I get to that, we do have two great guests. We have Sean Miner. He is the owner and proprietor of Four Bears Winery. We also have John Cormier. He is the owner of Kennebec Homebrew Supplies. And if there's not enough wine out on the shelves out there for you right now, he's going to come on and tell us how to make our own. Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but I am dying for spring. I know that we kind of saw a glimpse of it last week, but yes, once again, it is snowing. I have seen enough snow to last a lifetime, and surely there has got to be an end in sight. Well, if you're like me, the only way to get through this is adopt my motto. I think I've said this a couple of times. Drink more, it will all go away. So as long as we're going to keep that motto in hand, let's do some wine recommendations this week. I'm going to start with the red, simply because the idea of drinking a red wine right now really does warm me up, and it is 32 degrees inside the studio today. We have our little muffins and our little earmuffs and our little hats and gloves on.
We like to keep you jumping.
Yes, I appreciate that. But our red, actually, I think is very apropos, as we are all keeping an eye on the economy, keeping an eye on what's going on as tax day approaches. There is a new wine out from Sullivan Vineyards in Napa Valley, and it's called Red Ink Red. Now, I just can't think of a more appropriate bottle of wine right now, the way we look at our government and how they like to spend money. What a perfect bottle to toast with. This is 81% Cabernet, 19% Merlot. It comes in under $24, so it's not going to break the bank and put you in red ink. And, of course, it is from Napa Valley. You've got a lot of great fruit in that. You have black fruit. You have some of the soft cherry coming from the Merlot. And yet it does stand up to pretty much anything you want to put on the grill. So this is definitely a wine you can use to toast away the sorrows of the economy. As far as whites, I have found something new. And I am probably going to mispronounce it because I usually have troubles with my alliteration. But we have Los Alioses Chardonnay from Los Alamos. Yes, please feel free to correct me if I got that wrong. But what's really cool is when you look at the wines from Los Alamos, sometimes the wines down from Southern California, we're talking around Santa Ynez and that Santa Maria and the Santa Barbara area, they get very, very tropical and sometimes they can be very fat. And when I say fat, it just means they don't have enough acid to balance out the fruit and the oak and everything in it. That is definitely not the problem with Los Alioses Chardonnay. This is great. It's been grown in cool climate, so it has nice acid to it. It's been aged in Burgundy barrel, so even though it has that nice hint of vanilla and sweetness, it doesn't beat you over the head like you're chewing on a baseball bat. And, of course, it's been malolactically fermented, which means it has that soft creaminess to it. This is definitely something I'd recommend. You get the great tropical fruit, you get a hint of oak, and it's very, very smooth going down. And particularly right now, as we are still fighting the snowstorms, I can give up on my lighter whites and definitely go back to something heavier. The good news is it does have kind of a pineapple taste in it, so it at least makes me hope that one day I'll be sitting outside by a pool with a little drink with a little piece of pineapple and an umbrella on it. Because right now, I swear, that's the closest we're going to get to a springtime. So despite that, there are your two wines for the week. Sullivan Vineyard, Red Ink Red, and Los Alioses Chardonnay from Los Alamos. Go search them out. They are definitely worth the effort. Well, on a serious note, I think everyone's been following the news this week. It is tragic what has happened down in Chile, and I know we are following the plight of the survivors and as they try and struggle through and begin to rebuild and to pull everything out. Of course, it comes time to step back and look at the impact it's going to have on a worldwide economy. And it's important to note that as much as we're concerned about the people and the survivors of the earthquake and for those they may have lost, it's going to be an interesting time in the wine world in Chile because the earthquake actually hit right at harvest. Majority of the vineyards down in that area were getting ready to pull in, of course, their 2010 harvest. And something like this is definitely decimating the whole economy when it comes to wine down there. Even though it was in southern Chile around Biobío and Colchuaga, it has affected the whole industry because the country is without power. Now, if you look at a situation where you have to do fermentation with no electricity, and we've had a lot of wineries on the show that talk about gravity-fed and the fact they've done it since the 1800s, ultimately, when we look at the great Sauvignon Blancs and the great whites that come out of Chile, once these wines and the grapes get picked, they tend to go into cool jacketed fermenters. And what this means is the wines and the grapes are kept cool as they're fermenting through. And right now, bless the people's hearts in Chile, they can't even find their fermenters, those that they have that are on their sides. They don't have barrels to put anything in. So I think we're going to see a very long uphill battle for the wine world coming out of Chile. So while you keep everybody down there in your thoughts, please be aware that if you have a Chilean wine that you think is your favorite or something that you can't live without, I would strongly, strongly suggest that you go to the market and pick it up now. Because of right now, if you look at the impact the earthquake has had, Castel Apostol, Conchiatoro, Alamos, Vinta Santa Rita, Agricole, Lavinia, all of these wineries, not only are they not producing, they are not shipping to the States. Obviously, it is the last priority to get their wines out in the condition the country is in. But we are going to see the wine supply from Chile really, really dry up in the next 2 months. So for those of you who are addicted to your Chilean juice, speak now or hold your peace for a while. For the rest of us, please join me in thinking about the poor people down there and hope that everything comes out for the best and that they are a resilient country. And I'm sure we will be back on our feet shortly. So outside of Chile, it's always fun when you have something that serious happening in the news to see something equally as ludicrous so that we can totally make fun of things. And yes, we knew it was coming. There is officially a class action lawsuit against E&J Gallo for their mislabeled French Pinot Noir. And the whole class action is about you're deceiving the customers. This is a press release from PR Web, and it reads, today, Kingsley & Kingsley, on behalf of plaintiff Mark Zeller, filed a complaint in Los Angeles Superior Court against E&J Gallo and French company Sierre d'Arquez, alleging that they engage in unfair competition, false advertising, and fraud in the bottling, distribution, and sale of various French Pinot Noirs sold in the state of California. Now, I realize I gave Gallo a hard time about the fact that supposedly they did not know that the grapes they bought in France were not Pinot Noir. You think if you're that big of a worldwide expert, you could step up and know what grapes are coming in. But the fact that it has led to this kind of frivolous lawsuit, tying up our courts and to tie up all this money and all this energy just because someone got a bottle of Pinot Noir that wasn't actually Pinot Noir, this is absolutely asinine. This is something that defines. I think when Jerome Gendon from Tattinger was on the show a while ago, he talked about Americans and how litigious we are. And the fact that the one thing he enjoys being in America is the fact that he knows if he does something wrong, somebody's going to sue him, but at least he has dual citizenship and he doesn't have to worry about it. Well, this is case in point. This is proof. Let's face facts. You went out, you bought a $4.99 bottle of Pinot Noir. At most, you paid for this red bicyclette $8. And yet you're going to take the time and the energy of the courts and a jury and all the people to come together to sue Gallo because that bottle of wine that you bought, and I'll note, you drank, didn't meet your standards. Now, I find it interesting that it met your standards just fine when it was flying off the shelf and you bought several bottles, but now all of a sudden you want to sue the company? This is absolutely the reason why wine prices wind up going up. Do you know why? Because wineries are in the situation where they're going to have to stand up and put lawyers on retainers, test everything they have. I mean, we're going to turn this into the whole situation when, like, we're dealing with HMOs when it comes to medical malpractice. This is absolutely ridiculous. So, yes, they are looking for a class action lawsuit against Gallo. Of course, I hope that all of our listeners are going to find this just as entertaining as I do and will not follow up and actually get involved in that. But ultimately, caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. If you're paying $8 for a bottle of French Pinot Noir that doesn't say anything on the label but have a pretty picture of a bicycle, take a guess. You're going to run into some problems.
So you're saying, though, that let Gallo do whatever they want to? Let the buyer beware?
I'm not saying let Gallo do whatever they want to. Absolutely, they need to come out and say, hey, listen, we screwed up, we apologize, as Gallo has yet to issue a statement. But ultimately, to take the time to sue somebody over an $8 bottle of Pinot that no one was hurt on, no one was injured on, there was no repercussion on this wine at all, except for the fact that we get to talk about Gallo in the past tense and the fact that they're worldwide experts, but ultimately no one was hurt from drinking that bottle. Nothing was permanently damaged except maybe some people's prides. And honestly, if you're buying an $8 bottle of Pinot, how much pride could you have when it comes to defending what you're drinking? So, sorry, there are my two rants for today. Obviously, they're two sensitive subjects with me, both the earthquake and the fact that we're suing a winery because we drank something we couldn't label. Go figure. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we have Mr. Sean Miner of Four Bears Winery, and I'm sure he can add some sunshine to our otherwise dreary day.
Check out WineCrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and I promise my listeners I am off of my soapbox, at least for a couple of segments, because right now we are joined by Mr. Sean Miner. He is the owner and founder of Four Bears Winery. Sean, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thank you very much.
Sean, it's a delight to have you back on the show. You have been on the show in the past, and I have known you for a couple of years, but you've just got some exciting things going on, and I couldn't resist talking to you again.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
For our listeners, Sean has taken a very circuitous route to get to where he is now, from the Midwest to Arizona State University to UC Davis to King Estate to Renwood and now to the Sean Miner Winery. What's it like to have your name on a winery label? What's it like to actually pick up a bottle of wine and know it's you?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I've figured that out yet. I think, a different reaction every single time. Most times it's been very, very good.
I would imagine it'd be very, very positive, but I'd hate to be in a restaurant and look over and see my bottle of wine, see Laura Lawson Chardonnay on someone's table, and someone lean over and say, "Oh my God, isn't that pretentious?"
Well, I think everyone's kind of appreciated how I've gone about the business and what we're trying to do with this particular brand. So hopefully, it doesn't come off as that.
Well, now is a very, very good time, because when you were on the show last, of course, we were talking about Four Bears Wineries. Explain to our listeners the transition and the fact that Four Bears is not something they can see glaringly on the shelf anymore.
Well, I think it still has that connection with that. Obviously, Four Bears represented my four kids, but we've begun to emphasize a little bit more the Sean Miner side of things. It always was the parent company of Four Bears. Four Bears was a proprietary label of Sean Miner Wines, but the name started getting Sean Miner, per se, started getting a little bit more, I think, foothold in the marketplace. So we continue to emphasize that aspect. And I think the Four Bears, after some of the critter labels that had come out into the marketplace, I kept on getting people telling me my wines were way more serious than my label dictated, so we tried to take a little bit more serious approach to it.
Well, I think you've done great in the transition. I have to admit, when we first kicked off War Bears, I kind of thought, where's Goldilocks? But now that I sit back and I look at your labels and I taste your wines, I think I am in cahoots with the rest of the country and admitting the wines are outstanding and definitely worth looking for the new label.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
In fact, that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today. We look at the wine industry at the whole, especially for the last 18 months, and of course we've talked about all the consolidations of major producers, we've talked about people who are just not being able to afford to produce their wines, and yet you have Sean Miner Wines that have had an incredible growth spurt. How have you managed to have one of the growing brands in the country when everyone else is panicking to retain a foothold?
Well, you know, I think originally when we set out produce our wines, the real catalyst to it was the fact that my wife and I realized our second largest household expense outside of our California size mortgage was our wine expense. and it was somewhat frustrating to feel like you had to spend $30-$35 for a good bottle of wine, even though it's a Tuesday or Wednesday night. And that was really our main objective, is take the 22 years of experience that we had in the industry and really go out and use the contacts and the winemaking background to be able to produce wines that completely exceed expectations in terms of price to quality, and that's what we set out to do, and that was always our mantra. Well, the economy takes a header, and we just seem to be sitting in the right spot at the right time, because it's really not necessarily been a cyclical change for the consumer's behavior, but I think it's been more of a reset, and doesn't matter what consumer industry you might be looking at, it definitely plays in the wine side of things. People realized that there was opportunities to get a better bang for the buck with a few other labels, and we happened to be the beneficiary of that. So we received a lot of good national press and a lot of return customers coming back, realizing that those wines deliver that. And you know, not everybody wants to spend $35-$40 for a bottle of wine, and our mantra has really been to produce wines that are Monday through Thursday on your pocketbook, but good enough to serve Friday and Saturday night, and I think we've been able to do that.
I think when you say that you were at the right place at the right time, it indicates that luck was involved. I think people forget that luck favors the prepared. I mean, Sean, with your background, obviously from Renwood to King Estate, you definitely had sown the seeds to do something outstanding, and it shows through in your wines. If you had any advice to give anybody who is thinking of starting their own wine company or starting their own winery, what advice would that be right now?
Well, I think it goes back to what I said earlier, is just what you're trying to deliver and what niche you're trying to fill. For us, I think in any successful business, if you can find a niche and fulfill that, you're going to be successful no matter what the economy might do. And obviously, there's always bumps in the road, but if you're able to find an aspect that you think is really missing in the marketplace, and you're able to exploit that and deliver that need in the marketplace, I think you're going to be successful.
Well, Sean, right now you have focused on all the big varietals. Chard, Cab, Merlot, you have Sauvignon Blanc, you have a little bit of everything out there. What's going to be the next hot thing from Sean Miner?
Well, right now, I've had, in the last couple of vintages, I've been kind of collecting some fun stuff and putting together some other connections with kind of offshoot varietals, but specifically looking at a red blend. So I think you'll probably see something from us in the next year or so as we get ready to put these blends together, really focusing on something that's a table red wine that's just delivers a huge mouthfeel and great aromas, and again, still delivering that big bang for the buck. So we'll probably do something fun like that, and then I think we'll just continue to do what we're doing and concentrate on doing it very, very well. We do have five varietals now. The entry of the Pinot Noir this last year has just been huge for us, and it's difficult to find Pinot Noir that actually tastes like Pinot Noir and smells like Pinot Noir for under $20, and we've been able to deliver that in two consecutive vintages. So we still have a long way to grow in terms of nationally. We're still only offered in 28 states, so there's plenty for us to do, but we probably will add one more varietal, and that will be a red blend.
Well, we will certainly keep our eyes out for it. For those of you who may not be in one of the 28 states where Sean is available, you can find him at 4, as in the number, bearswinery.com. Hey, Sean, thank you very much for being on The Crush today, and as soon as you get that new blend put together, why don't you send it our way, and we'll have you back.
I love it. Thank you very much.
All right, Sean, take care. We're going to take a small break here at The Crush, but when we return, we will have your calls, your emails, and, of course, your commentary.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? that there be a right choice. Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And of course, this show would be nothing if it were not for you. So of course, we need your calls and your emails. Call us 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Or of course, you can email us off our website, winecrush.com, at info@winecrush.com. And for those of you who like to take part in discussions and read what's going on behind the scenes at The Crush, we now have the Facebook page, Wine Crush Radio Show. Yes, I've been known to drop in occasionally and make fun of people, so please come join us. Well, right now, someone has taken advantage of the fact that we do have an email address, and I'd like to read that email. This is from Kristen. Hi, Kristen. She writes, Hi, Laura. I adore your show and listen to it online while slogging away in the world of commercial finance. Thanks for being a lifesaver in the land of spreadsheets. Kristen, if I had to listen to me while I was doing spreadsheets, I might actually start banging my head against the keyboard. So thank you very much. Your question is, what wine would you suggest sipping with Lebanese food? Hummus, baba ganoush, etc. I'm looking for a white and a red to serve for a luncheon and honor my future sister-in-law, who is a vegetarian. Many thanks. Wow, Kristen, my heart goes out to you. Very, very difficult to plan a luncheon for a vegetarian, then to find the wines, then to make everything match up. Because as we have a running joke around here, our worst thing to pair wines with is vegetables, which is why I pretty much don't eat them. It really cuts down on the palate.
You don't eat vegetables?
No, if it's green, you can forget it.
Wow.
Yes, it kind of does limit my palate, but at least the only green pepper I really get is out of my Cabernets, and I'm happy with that.
Okay.
All right. Well, Kristen, getting focus on you, when you're looking at doing the hummus, the vegetarian kind of things, you want to look for 2 things. You need a lighter style wine. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that are about to say, oh, my God, you're crazy. 2 wines come to mind immediately, and it's very, very strange. I rarely push French wines, but they'll be a good balance for this. M. Chapoutier does a Belle Rouge Red and a Belle Rouge Blanc. And the Belrousse Red is basically a Syrah blend. So you don't necessarily have to use a Chapoutier, but a lighter Syrah, whether it's from California, whether it's for France. Ideally, I'd lean toward France because you tend to get some of the earthy flavors into that. And when you have the earthy flavors, it tends to pair well with the vegetarian dishes. Sometimes when you get really, really fruity Syrahs, like you might find in California or Australia, it can overwhelm it. So I would look for a French Syrah. And as far as a white, the white is really going to be a lot of fun, and it's the one you can have the most pair with. Most people would tell you that, oh, you have to do a Sauvignon Blanc. But like I said, that Chapoutier Belrousse Blanc, it's a blend of Viognier. It has, my mind just totally went out on me right there. But it definitely has the Viognier grape in it. It has the other white varietals from the Rhone region. And it's something that I think would balance very, very well with the hummus. Because once again, you have some acidity. You have some floral characteristics. Roussanne. That was it. Viognier and Roussanne that blend into that wine.
Come back, Laura.
Tim, what's going on in the studio, man? But ultimately, this wine is a good blend. It will bring out the fruitiness of anything you're serving if you're doing a fruit side dish. But also, it has enough acid and has enough balance to carry over the hummus and the baba ganoush and the things that you're doing. Now, if you want to do something kind of offbeat and off the wall, Sauvignon Blanc is a good option, but also if you want to spend a little bit more, a wine like Camus Conundrum that has a little bit of Semillon in it, something with a little sweetness, does tend to balance out some of the green flavors that you're going to get with the vegetarian dishes. So, Kristen, I hope that helps. I hope your luncheon goes well. It sounds like you have bitten off a mighty, mighty chunk to chew, and I certainly hope it pans out for you. All right, right now we have a victim on the wine line. We have Pat, and Pat is from North Carolina. Pat, welcome to the Wine Crush.
I've been wandering around, and I've heard this term called wine glut. What does that mean for the average consumer, and is that anything I should be looking for?
Wandering around and heard this term. I'm going to hope that means you actually have me on your iPod, and that's where the download came from, that you're wandering around listening to Wine Glut. As our listeners will know, of course, the last couple shows we have been talking about the fact that there is a wine glut. What it means is there's a lot of juice in California. There is a lot of extra juice in Oregon. They've come forward and said there's a lot of extra juice in Washington. They have also stepped forward and let us know that in France, Italy, Spain, and Germany, they all had record harvest. And, of course, Australia, the poor guys down there are trying to figure out exactly which vines they're going to rip out to make their wine business profitable again. What this means is you're going to see some new brands. You're going to see some new wines out there. It's interesting. It kind of I'm going to tie this back into, just because it's so heavily on my mind, the earthquake in Chile. For the longest time, Chile was the country that was bringing in the lower-cost wines. They were in abundance, and they were very, very good. It'll be interesting to see now how the wine glut becomes dissipated, or see if we truly have one. If our wineries from Chile can't get back online, or if they've lost a lot of their production, there may not be the glut that we predicted. It may just wind up being filling shelves for lower tier varietals. So it'll be interesting to watch. But as far as wandering around thinking about a wine glut, let me give you some advice. Quit wandering. Sit down at your local wine bar. Open up a couple bottles of wine and start drinking them. That is the only way to avoid a true wine glut. The more we consume, the less there is to overpower us with. So keep that in mind, and hope that answers your question. All right, we still have another victim on the wine line. We have Alexis. Alexis, welcome to the Wine Crush.
I'm hosting a dinner with a Mexican theme. What are some good wines that I should have on hand?
All of y'all are just getting wild out there.
Lebanese.
We have a Lebanese luncheon. Now we have a Mexican dinner. Are you people not aware it's cold and snowy outside? We should be having like whole pigs and leg of lamb or something.
Yeah, what wine goes with a Big Mac?
I prefer white Zinfandel or a really heavy Chardonnay. It depends on how thirsty I am. Pretty much if I'm eating a Big Mac, I've been drinking a whole lot of Chardonnay before that point. Really, Kent, did you not think I'd have an answer for that one?
You got me there.
All right. I think it's funny. If you talk to winemakers, their answer for what pairs well with a Mexican meal, they're going to look at you and say Dos Equis. I can't stand it when they do that, but I do understand it. Beer has been the universal pair for Mexican food. But ultimately, this goes back to what I mentioned earlier in the email. Mexican food, you have your different kind of peppers, you know, whether it's habanero, jalapeno, whether it's little relenos. And what happens is you do get some intrinsic heat in that. And whether you're doing Mexican, whether you're doing Thai, whether you're doing any kind of spicy dishes, the great counterbalance to something like that is going to be something with sweetness. Rieslings automatically come to mind when I think about doing Mexican food. Gewürztraminers come to mind. But also, like I mentioned earlier, white blends, anything with a Semillon in it. I don't know if I got off on a tangent about this in my last show. If I did, I apologize. But if I didn't, it's just fascinating. I think the ideal wine for you to go out and try with a Mexican meal right now would be a Moscato, M-O-S-C-A-T-O. Once again, very rarely that I am caught off guard in meetings. I have to admit, I tend to zone out occasionally after we get through the second hour of meetings. But this meeting, I was actually sitting up and paying attention when they started showing numbers on the screen of how much Moscato is being sold. Moscato, Muscat, however you want to look at it from around the world, it's a delicate white grape that tends to have some sweetness to it. This wine is certainly coming to its own here in the United States. So actually branch out, try something different, try the Moscato, and do let us know how it goes. All right, we're going to take a small break right here, but when we come back, if you're tired of looking on the shelves to find a bottle of wine you like, we're going to get some advice on how to make our own.
Visit WineCrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is the Wine Crush.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. Well, for those of you who have sat back and complained about all the wine you find on the shelf that you actually cannot stand, we have the guest for you. We have John Cormier. He is the owner of Kennebec Homebrew Supplies And he is the man with the answers to keep you satisfied on your own bottle. John, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
It's nice to have you joining us today because we often get a lot of winemakers. We get a lot of people who can tell us how they got their start, how they went to UC Davis, or how they flew around the world. As that relates to us, though, how many of us really are going to have those opportunities? But the thought of being able to go in and buy a kit and make my own wine, well, that does occasionally excite me. So, question for you. How did you get into making wine available to the public? I know, obviously, you're a brew supply, but what made you turn to bringing wine stuff in?
Well, it was just being able to do it at home. And we saw that that you could buy a wine kit and commercially, and we actually bought our first one at a health food store. But we got very little help making it. So we learned from the Canadians that they have shops like ours up there everywhere in every town. And so we learned from them to provide the same service here.
Well, that makes sense. Do you find a great demand? Obviously, I have a lot of friends who attempt to make beer on their own. I have heard horror stories about beer bottles blowing up and bathtubs being destroyed. But how many people are actually attempting to make wine? Is this a growing phenomenon or just an undercurrent?
It's huge now. The wine kits are now so, I mean, you can have a entry-level $10 bottle all the way to a typical $30 bottle of wine that you would purchase. Only it's fresh, unfiltered, and lower in sulfites.
Which...
So it's way better for you.
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at it. Well, tell me about the kit. Say I come into the home brewing store that you run, and I say, I want to buy a kit to make Chardonnay. What happens at that point?
Sure. We fit you with that particular kit that you want and go through step by step everything that you would need to do to make it. And that means not following the directions.
That's spoken like a true man. I love it. So here's where we're going to give you the kit, but we're going to take the directions away from you because they don't work.
Right.
All right.
And our directions are better because they're un-Americanized. We don't rush the kit. And there's other changes that we're making all the time to make it a better wine with a base juice, you know, just working with a good juice and not rushing it, and give it some love, and it will come out better.
Where does the kit come from? When you say rush the juice, where does that juice come from?
Mostly, the Canadians are putting these kits together. They're manufacturing up there in Canada. And,
okay. So Finger Lakes region.
The juices come from all over the world. They tank them in however they need them. And the more juice you buy, the more expensive the kit, the more specific the juice from a region, say, the more expensive.
So if I wanted to buy Napa Valley grape juice and I wanted to make 12 bottles, it would be more expensive than just making a Chardonnay, period, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you get what you pay for, but it's all good. I really think the commercial guys are—they're going to be worried once people figure out how good the wines are that you make at home, because they're—it's not about money at our level. We don't water the wine down to 14% alcohol when it can be received at 18%.
Oh, good Lord!
Yeah, it's about money for the commercial people. Yeah.
All right, 18% Chardonnay, man. I'd have two glasses of that, and I'd be flat on my face. I expect
like
it from Zinfandel, man. I don't expect that from Chardonnay. Well, that goes actually into one of my questions. I think, you know, you're talking about some of the commercial producers, but if Laura Lawson's making her own Chardonnay at home, you know, there's always a fine balance. You know, you want to keep the alcohol in check. You want to keep the acid in check. How do we manage to do that on our own without guidance?
You have a you use science. You apply science. And it's just like anything. When you're cooking, you add a certain amount of water or sugar. It's the same as cooking. And So that's all. You set the style to what you like and not to what the commercial standards are. And
all right.
That's fun.
So basically, I wanted to make Chardonnay. I would get, I don't know, let's say 4 gallons of Chardonnay juice from you.
Sure.
You would then sell me a certain kind of yeast. Would there be? Do I have my yeast choices, or does it all come together in the kit?
Yeah, everything comes with a in the kit, and typically we just walk you through it so that you can do it at home. We also, our shops, we build the wines right here, and folks take them out the door, and there's no charge for that. It's that easy, and. But we walk you through it, and we take calls all day long. From
constantly.
Questions.
My Chardonnay just blew up, or my Chardonnay
is
foaming at the mouth.
It's a $70, $80 investment, and people are nervous, and I don't blame them. So we guarantee, once again, as long as you don't follow the manufacturer's directions, isn't that awful? You know, that you have to really stress that you don't.
I can't get past that. We guarantee it, but only if you don't follow the directions. John, you're making my day here.
There's some misinformation in the directions, and I don't understand that. But
we can use this as your platform to get the directions created. We can make them change. They can be John's directions from this point on.
And we have everything on our website at kennebeckhomebrew.com. We publish our own recommended recipe changes to the directions, and so we help folks through it.
Well, very cool. Do you ship your kits across the states, or do they actually have to come into your show to get come into your store to get this?
Right. No, we aren't competitive with the shipping. There's plenty of guys out there that do the shipping, but no, we're on site. That's it. Yeah.
All right. Well, John, thank you very much for being part of The Crush today. We encourage all of our listeners who are in the northeast portion of the United States, please go check out the Kenny Beck Home Brew Supply. Of course, you can reach them at www.kennebeckhomebrew.com. So, John, thank you for being part of The Crush, and we will certainly keep our eyes out for those John special directions.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care. Hey, we're going to take a break here on The Crush, but when we return, we're going to wrap this show up and, of course, give you a little more of my 2 cents worth about everything going on in the wine world.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the karate glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The karate glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood.
Hi-yah!
Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars.
Hi-yah!
It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you have been listening to The Chardonnay Diva and the show that's all about the glory of the grape. Yes, hope you've enjoyed today's show. I want to remind all of you out there that, of course, this show wouldn't be here if not for you. And you can give us a call, 877-4CRUSH-1, or you can email me at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Something tells me that after the opening of today's show, some of y'all might want to put your 2 cents worth in. And you know me, I'm always up for it. But I had a whole different clothes planned for this show, but I just can't get past that. Something is wrong with the instructions. And I think that's going to have to kind of be the way that the end of this goes, because, man, there's always something wrong with the instructions. And I want you to think about that. You can't be afraid of change. You know, we're all given instructions. We're all given our guidelines, but we have to learn to think past them. Just think about what we've touched on in the show. You know, think about Sean Miner. He started out at Arizona State University. He started out with Renwood, King Estate, started out with a winery called Four Bears, realized it wasn't quite working and put Sean Miner on his label. Think about what's going on down in Chile. They're going to have to actually do their repairs and change their way of thinking, change their way of producing wine for this year. But ultimately, you have to be ready to step up and make your own change. You have to be willing to try things outside the box and try everything at least just once. Man, how much trouble can you really get into? So I kind of like the way John thinks. Yes, something is probably wrong with the instructions, but let's all get together and probably try and find a way to fix them. Well, of course, you've been listening to The Wine Crush, and as always, here in The Crush, we remind you to sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and even though something is wrong with the instructions, I'll talk with you next week.